So I'd like to say something about the nearness of Tara, because we're here, it's Tara Loca, Tara's realm. Tara could be so close. This is one of the places in the world dedicated to her. I don't know how many there are, but this is one of them, and it's special, and it's Europe, and it's 21st century. So how could she turn away? Now, she is our protector. And there's much that we can contemplate. There are rupas here, a tanker. Her mantra is chanted again and again in this space. It's inscribed in the fabric of the building. There's her meditation cabin in the landscape, looking out in every direction. And it's surrounded by greenness. Tara Loca is a lot about greenness, and the cabin's surrounded by greenness, and that will soon be the vibrant greenness of May and April. But her greenness is more vibrant than that and less substantial than that. And there's also a little lake among the wildflowers, you know, a lake the shape of a teardrop, and she was born from a lake of tears, and in a way she inhabits this landscape. And she is that compassion that is born in response to suffering. She is fearless, the confident raised hand, nothing gets in her way, the foot ready to step out. And she's supremely beautiful. Her face expresses her virtues. Her eyes are deeply, deeply loving. She's very human. The jeweled hand, the delicately curved foot, the half smile of compassion, because it holds suffering and it holds love. And this is the human at its most beautiful, at its fullest potential. So we can say that Green Tara is the faithful one, the saviouress, if you like, rowing across magical waters, heroically ferrying beings from samsara to nirvana, to the further shore. And on one level, that's not a hair's breadth away. And on another, it's a mythic sea journey with the protectress. And even as daylight can give way to moonlight, she can also become white. So, contemplating the virtues. Well, Bhante says of the virtues that they're not just ethical, that they're spiritual qualities, which means that they arise from insight, which is similar to Kula Prabha's point about compassion yesterday. So this is virtues on a different level. And the word contemplate, well, the main meanings of contemplate are to consider, to look at attentively, to meditate on, or study. And the word contemplate, the word contemplative, has a kind of spiritual resonance to it. So with this factor, we deeply engage with the qualities of the enlightened ones in the context of our going for refuge and our faith that enlightenment is real. And I was thinking that contemplation is like the three levels of wisdom. You know, so we initially engage with our senses. We read, we look, we listen, we think, we hear. Now, Padmasambhava always says, listen, listen. We start with our senses. And then in some way we reflect, we take this more deeply, so it begins to modify our being. And then ideally, the third level, at the deepest level, the level of wisdom, we become one with the experience, and at that level we would merge with the bodhisattva. So of all of this, all these levels, actually we're developing something very positive, because we're turning our samskaras towards the good. We're directing our samskaras towards the positive. Or we're creating very positive samskaras. So we're working to transform our minds. And to do that, we're drawing on our human faculties, and particularly the imagination in its fullest meaning, its deepest meaning. So our imagination is the faculty that sees how things are. So it sees ordinary reality, it sees conditioned existence, it sees the suffering of all beings. But it's also more visionary. It sees the whole landscape. It gives us glimpses of how things can be. You know, the possibilities of the transcendental, our potential, what we are, what we can become. So imagination holds samsara and nirvana. And I think, when I was thinking about this talk, there's probably a close link between imagination and intuition. The intuition, that deeper knowing, coming from the way that we're in touch with life. And maybe that's the groundswell, maybe that's the undercurrent that steers and directs our imagination, checks it out. So this is taking us into the territory of myth and symbol, deeper ways of understanding and realizing to reach a deeper truth. And with all of this, well, there's a momentum, there's a volition there, because there's a sense of our potential. I think there's a yearning, you know, there's the heart's wish. We know the darkness, we know the unsatisfactoriness, but we long to be what we could become. The Bodhisattva, the Tathagata.